Speak to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, Christ Church. It is great to be with you, and I can't wait to see you in person at the end of this month. This morning, we'll be wrapping up our community preaching series. But just because we're wrapping up this series doesn't mean that we are done with the topic. In fact, community is a topic that we will be returning to again and again and again because it is so central to Christian discipleship, learning to be with, become like, and live like Jesus. Jesus himself surrounds himself with community. We call them disciples, apostles, which sound like fancy church words, but they were, in the end, his friends, his community. And look, if anyone could have done this life thing solo, you would think it'd be the God in human flesh. But Jesus chose to surround himself with friendship in community as a model for us. There is nothing that Jesus ever did or said that wasn't intentional. By calling Peter, James, and John, Mary, Joanna, Susanna, and many others into fellowship with him, Jesus establishes a precedent that he intends for us to follow, to do life and faith, good times and bad times together. So expect more on this continuing theme as we develop our whole life apprenticeship to Jesus. This morning, I want to pick up where Curtis Robbins left off last week in an excellent sermon, being a community of humility in a culture of hubris. I can't get that image of the blank canvas out of my head. Take the money and run, $84,000? I should have been a modern artist. Curtis was reflecting on a difficult gospel where Jesus boldly states, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going to get into the kingdom of God ahead of you. And he surmised, Jesus holds up the most undesirable, immoral, unmentionable dregs of his society. Why? Because of their humility, because of their willingness to see their own limitations and failings. They are aware of their desperation. They know they need to be saved. In our gospel this morning, Jesus tells another interesting vineyard story. The third week in a row of our lectionary as he continues to develop variations on this important theme. This time, there's a landowner who plants a vineyard and leases it to some resident tenants who live there for a drastically reduced rent so long as they take care of the place and bring in the harvest. But when the landlord sends a messenger to collect, the tenants not only refuse, they beat and kill the messenger and the next one. And the next one. So the landlord sends his son, assuming then they'll realize he means business, but they do the same to him. Jesus, again, talking to the religious folk of his day, poses this question. Now, what do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do when he gets there? The religious folk reply, he'll put those wretched, miserable folks to death, and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give the produce at the harvest time. Right, Jesus responds. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who produces the fruits of the kingdom. Kaboom, as Father Terry would say. It's an odd story, but Jesus uses it as a setup to prove a point. God, of course, is the landlord and Israel is the tenant. Their privileged covenant position isn't a right, but a divine gift. But they squander that gift. Remember when I said community is the ideal, but there is no ideal community? See Exhibit 247 here. Jesus doesn't mince word with the good religious folk of his day. If they continue to squander the gift, it will be taken away from them and given to another. And in telling this story, Jesus looks over to the outsiders, the outcasts, and suggests the inconceivable. God is evicting those who squander the privilege and extending the invitation to them. the Gentiles, the Samaritans, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners, the Kansas City Chiefs fans. But not the Las Vegas Raiders, because God still has standards, y'all. But so much could be said about this story. In essence, though, it is this. We are a community of included rejects. We were, as sinners, once on the outs with God, but by his gracious invitation, we have been brought in. The reprobates and the degenerates, the alcoholics and the adulterers, the gamblers and the gossips, even Polacks like me, have been made sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. It is time to party. Oh, wait, sorry. We're Episcopalians. Yes, right, party. Would you pass the watercress sandwich and tea, please? I'm positively chuffed. And yet, as much as we are meant to celebrate this gracious inclusion, we also must hear and heed this cautionary tale, lest we, like the good religious folk of Jesus' day, forget where we came from. The caution that Jesus boldly extends to the chief priests and the Pharisees, just like Curtis said last week, also extends to us, the new in-group, the church. Don't y'all get too high and mighty. If you don't produce the fruits of the kingdom, it'll be taken away from you too. Now, don't mishear me or misunderstand Jesus. This isn't a threat. It's a caution and a calling. Don't make the same mistake as the frozen chosen before you, hunkering down in their election, walling themselves off from the outsiders, not wanting to sully themselves with sinners. If that's what we mean by church, self-satisfied, smug, stiff upper lip, sanctimonious types, the world will want nothing to do with us. Indeed, folks will look elsewhere for authentic relationship, community, outside of the institutional church. That's not a threat. It's just a reality. The story of Jesus is a cautionary tale, not just for the religious types of Jesus' day, but also our own. And it is a calling, a responsibility, a charge to be a different kind of community, a community that never forgets where it came from, that recognizes that every person assembled here in the church isn't here because of right or righteousness, but because we were all saved by grace. A community that remembers that we were the outsiders that became insiders, the excluded who were embraced. We are a community of included rejects. The least, the lost, and the lonely sent to the least, the lost, and the lonely. Not a country club for the righteous, but a refuge for the brokenhearted, as Brendan Manning once put it. I've preached before, and I will preach till I'm blue in the face, about the decline of the church in the United States. Not because I want to frighten or depress you, but because I want us to face facts honestly and soberly. And it's not enough to just say, well, we seem to be doing okay at Christ Church, even if by God's grace we are. We must acknowledge the overall trends towards deconstruction and disaffiliation that we all know, both statistically and personally, within our country, city, family, friend group, to ask how and why we got here, not just theoretically, but to actually ask our actual neighbors, our friends, our family members, their actual thoughts and feelings on this. Do you go to church? If not, why not? If you did but don't, why'd you stop? And to listen, to really listen to the answers. Not just to win a debate or an argument. There is a time and a place for apologetics. But most people just want to be heard. Listening is an invitation to deeper relationship, more honest and open relationship. Now that I spend most of my time here in Seattle, one of the most unchurched cities in the country, I find myself stumbling into this conversation all the time. And I will tell you, some of the most common refrains that I hear from people who have experienced church is, yeah, I tried it, but it just didn't feel like a place I could be my true self. Or I used to be a regular churchgoer, but I never really connected and eventually just stopped going. Or I was actually run out because I was divorced or gay or listened to death metal or whatever. What are they saying? I wanted the church to be an authentic community of receptive humility, a community of included rejects like me, but it wasn't. So I went elsewhere. Over and over and over again, I hear these words of Jesus. Therefore, I'll tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. Not as a threat, but as a caution and a calling, a summons, please. If we do not live as an authentic community producing kingdom fruit, the world won't want anything to do with us. It will walk away and find other forms of community approaching what God intended for the church to be elsewhere. Whether it's on a kid's soccer field or in their workplace or in a coffee house or in comedy clubs or our local radio station here in Seattle, KEXP, that touts itself as more than just a radio station, but, quote, an intentional community of music lovers and makers, fostering relationship and community, building through podcasts, broadcasts, in-person music experiences. I mean, with a slight twist, does that not sound like church to you? Walk anywhere in Seattle and you are bound to see stickers and t-shirts that say, "You are not alone." KEXP. I am not mocking this. I am relaying to you that I now live in a place, the post-Christian, secular, non-zone, where a radio station, admittedly a good one, my favorite, has stepped into a void left by the church. There is a resounding caution here, but there is also a calling. We, the church, can be, in many places, are an authentic community of included rejects, a people desperate to welcome others into our midst, not because we have it all together, but precisely because we don't. A community that isn't looking inward, preserving the purity within our ranks, but always outward, especially to those on the margins of our society, just like Jesus did. A community seeking to love our neighbors, no matter who they are, or where they are in life, or what they're going through, because we know what it's like to go through all of the above and be sustained only by God's grace. A community that isn't too prideful to admit when we need help, when we're scared or we don't have all the answers. A community willing to admit that we individually and collectively have screwed up, will screw up again, and that's why we are here. Because we all need Jesus. We, the church, are a community of included rejects. We don't have time for airs or pretense. None of us are here by right or righteousness. We're all living rent-free on grace. So let us heed this caution, but even more this calling, to be honest and humble, real and relatable, a family of misfits that doesn't wall ourselves off from the world, but calls the world into relationship with Jesus, where everyone can find a home. Amen.